And the fact that, you know, sometimes things are freshly imprinted on me, where even from 2 weeks ago, something has changed where I might express this differently than I would have in that recording. So I just felt like just coming live today. I'm just coming in for the teaching. I'm going to skedaddle for the chat. I'm leaving it for about an hour. I didn't want to leave them above that, but as I was sharing with this group and with the online, he's good. He's fine. So thank you all for your prayers. And I shared this on Facebook, and I know I shared this with the house that Grace built. Just the commonalities between physical heart surgery and spiritual heart surgery were just, it was really shocking to see how much they aligned. And then you just take that a little bit forward and you go, well, duh, the processes of God always align. How he works in the physical realm, I believe this, and I've taught this all along, but it was kind of radical to see it in terms of the actual physical heart. Because I mentioned surgery and things of that nature, but to actually go through it, I believe that God's physical way of operating is a reflection of something of a system that happens in the spiritual realm. And so that we can gain a lot of insight into how God operates by seeing the things that he does in the physical realm. Does that make sense to you? So we really are, in every sense of the word, engaging in spiritual heart surgery. Really, we are. That's really what we're combating. Now, having had this experience that's a little fresh in my mind, there are some things that I feel really important to share on that, outside of just the context of, you know, we have bitterness and we have unforgiveness, and just go forgive and you'll be set free. It doesn't quite work that way. Okay, it really doesn't. And I want to talk a little bit about that. I want to bring some clarity to that, and then you can break up in your groups. I also want to set some proper expectations. I'm still like in a state of shock that my husband would be up and fine a week after physical heart surgery. That just, it baffles me, it blows me away. But as I was sharing with some of you prior to the class, so forgive me if you're having to hear this again, but for those that didn't hear, spiritual heart surgery is not quite that way. Now, I will tell you this, you know, there's surgery to repair, and then there's long-term lifestyle needs. Like, you know, for my husband, there has to be some lifestyle ways of living life from here on out that are going to be imperative to his overall long-term health. Do you understand that? And that's how it is in the spiritual realm as well. So if we go through a season where we get a deep level of healing, that's great, but how we pick that up and how we walk through that is really going to determine the longevity of that freedom. And we're only a step away from losing our freedom. And you know what else I've learned is that my journey hasn't been, I was set free. And some people have this testimony. I don't have this testimony. They were set free once, and that was it. They just set free, and they were done, and they lived this perfect, amazing, wonderful life, and that was it. They just went on. My journey has not been that way. I'd like to say that I've moved from glory to glory, or you could say from one broken piece of mess to the next, would be another way of humanly saying that. And where the glory factor comes in too is that Jesus comes and he takes something with those ashes and he turns it into something beautiful. And I can't really comprehend how he can do that. I've found that the deeper and the more I know Jesus, and the more I trust that his processes are at work, I find that there's more work that needs to be done. That the surgery isn't really a one-time event. It's an ongoing pursuit of my wholeness. And there's a relentless surgeon, Jesus, the relentless surgeon, just constantly and continually wanting to access the areas in my life that either I've re-damaged, maybe I've allowed resentment to re-enter my life, or maybe I've never accessed something. Do you know that level of protection can be so deep? It could take years sometimes to get to something. That was stunning to me, to find out 10 years into a radical healing in my life, I still had locked memories or something that I had never processed. So what am I trying to set is the expectation that really what we're doing today is we're getting tools that will help us uncover, I guess you could say, the methods and the processes of God, and they're essential tools. We can apply them right now. Absolutely, we can. We can experience some deliverance and some freedom right now. Yes, we can. But they will not have a today is the day, and that's it. Today is the day that you're free, and then go walk it out. It doesn't work that way. Okay, so let's pray. Let's pray. How did that light change our camera at all? Do you need to adjust that at all before we move on? Is it okay? Just wiggle it around a little bit if you could. And yeah. You good? Okay. All right. A little bit better? Okay. I'm going to pray. You can keep working on that. I'm going to open us up in prayer. Father, we just welcome you into our time. We welcome you into this conversation piece about forgiveness and just the really the tough reality of learning how to do life under your principles, learning how to do life using your prescribed methods, Father, when sometimes our heart isn't able to perceive and isn't able to align with that, just because some of the wounds or some of the issues that we have. Father, we just ask that as our true physician, as our true healer, as the surgeon of our spiritual hearts, Father, that you would go inside and you would access those clogs, those things that have held us back from being able to walk in the flow of your spirit and your goodness and your faithfulness and your love. So, Father, diagnose us according to your purposes and according to your will. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so, well, we are going to look basically at a formula today. And what we're really looking at is how does God fix the damage that's taken place? How does he fix it? What is necessary for him to go in there and to bring restoration and to bring wholeness and to bring repair? First of all, the thing that I would put on the table is, can he do that? And that's going to be your walk of faith. The second I put on the table is the fear factor. Am I willing to let him do that? Can he do that? Am I willing to let him do that? And I want to add a third one in here because I know that those two I've drilled home to you. But the third one is something called pride. I was just listening to a message on it, and it just so coincided with what. Now, I always, you know, you start throwing, you know, you're prideful, you know, that just sounds like such a big, ugly, nasty word. But remember what we've learned about codependency is pride wasn't, oh, I'm so great and wonderful, and you're, you know, I mean, maybe sometimes there's that issue, but pride is really self-sufficiency. Pride is relying on our own strength. So that means when I'm on the surgery table, literally, do I think that it's up to me to mandate to the surgeon how he has to do what he needs to do? And again, that picture could not be any more clear right now. It's very crystal clear. It's like absurd. It's absurd. My husband was trying to explain this surgery room. He said it was unbelievable. That just the enormity of this surgery room and how many teams and how they each had a function. I mean, to think of a physical person trying to perform their own heart surgery is so ridiculous. It's so utterly, I mean, we would get that. And yet I really do believe this with all my heart, that the spiritual process of change, what we're trying to engage in, is even more complex. It's even more complex. And so one of the things that we've got to understand is we can't just pick this ball up and say, oh, got it. Thank you, Jesus. I'm ready to go on with it now. Do you know how many people I've witnessed with that mindset? And they've mastered it. They got it. They figured it out. They received it. They got it. And they are ready to go out there and they are ready to jump right into the fire and praise God. I'm free and I'm released. And they're not. They're not, because it's not that simple. It's not that cut and dry. And one of the things that we have to do is to first believe, then let him, not let fear remove us, but then the act of actually depending on him to do for us what we're incapable of doing for ourselves. It's an act of trust. It's a lifestyle of dependence. Okay. Now, what we're going to talk about is offering forgiveness. Receiving forgiveness was last week. And if people don't engage in what the understanding of grace is, if people don't receive forgiveness, if people aren't abiding and actually able to partake of the gift of living without condemnation and guilt and shame, if there's never been that crossover point, what I'm teaching you right now has no relevancy. I just want you to understand that if you don't yet partake of grace, you cannot offer grace. It's not even possible. Okay? It's like if your physical body can't breathe air, it can't live. Okay? It's like that. And then you can't go and help or do anything for anyone until you first receive that life resource of air that you need. They say that in an airplane. If the airplane loses its pressure, they say before you help other people, you need to put the mask on yourself. Okay? That is a very simple, simple concept. And yet in the spiritual realm, sometimes we don't understand that we're trying to press into things and we're just trying to follow the processes of God in some kind of legalistic way where we know that's what God wants. We think we're living up to that, but God's like, you know what? You don't even have it in you yet. There's no way you can give that away. And that's why people grow weary. That's why people think that, well, it's not working. This doesn't work. It's because most of that, okay, most of that is because they didn't continue to push through. Okay, they didn't push through to the actual receptive point of saying, yes, my Jesus is coming. My Jesus is the resource. He's going to give me what I can't give to myself. Does that make it their fault? Like I said, those three, usually those three, and I was saying two, but I added the last one. Usually those three are the hangups. I guess you could say they're the blockages that prevent people from accessing that freedom. Now, what we're talking about today is really a spiritual malady. We're going to talk about unforgiveness and bitterness. And forgiveness, why we need to partake of it first is because its radical nature is so undeserving. And it's so powerful, and it's so freeing, and it's so loving that when we're partakers of the gift of forgiveness, when we really understand the enormity of what it's like to be forgiven, okay, we have something in us that is just, we have the residue of grace, like, in us. So it's not a theological understanding. It's a heart understanding. And what happens is that when we gain access to the power of forgiveness as recipients, now we are ready to use that as an actual weapon to come against the violations, the insults, and the injuries that others have placed on us. Can't do this in human strength. It's not possible. Can't do this in theology. It's not possible. Okay? And so, we're going to first talk a little bit about something that I think is vital. I'm going to skip all over these notes, so I don't know how much I'm going to follow them. Okay. One of the things that people have asked over the years repeatedly is, if I forgive someone, then I'm essentially saying that what they did was okay. Or I'm giving them permission to do it again. Now, let me just say, as we go through this process, we're going to have different levels of violations and needs. Sometimes there's an actual violation. It took place at a time, a date. It was a specific violation. It's very specific, and we need to address that. Sometimes it was a violation that was repetitive. Maybe it was a parental experience where they violated us in multiple ways, maybe through disrespect, through neglect, through abuse, whatever it might be. So there's a whole pattern of behavior that was established that really trickled into mindsets and toxic mentalities that we have to deal with that, okay? And then there's the relationships that are current. So we're just dealing with relationship issues, and we're trying to deal with that, and we get part of that down, and then, you know, all this other stuff comes back up, and then we got to do it all over again. So there are going to be different needs that you will have depending on the status and depending on the type and the level of intimacy that relationship was intended to have. Does that make sense? So an outside perpetrator is going to be different than a parent, for instance. They're going to have different requirements, and the healing will really vary on the intensity of the damage that was caused. Okay? God may not decide to have you deal with everything right now. He might decide, if you have a lot of trauma in your past, he might just give you what you need to work through right now. And you're like, well, how do I know? Well, that stuff usually starts to rise to the surface. If you're purposely trying to push down, that's not good. That's denial. But if you let him, if you say, go ahead and show me, he will start to rise up those areas that might be contaminated by bitterness and resentment, okay? I want to first validate that bitterness and resentment is pretty much a normal response to sin and violation, okay? It really is. So is shame, but so is resentment. Now, that does that make it okay? It doesn't. But what the bitterness and anger and resentment does is it basically says, I don't like what happened, right? I don't like what happened. It wasn't fair and it wasn't right. And I don't want this to happen again. And I just want you first to grapple with the idea that there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that, that God actually hates what happens to you. He hates sin. He hates the violations you've been under. When he came into this earth, he didn't come into this earth, you know, like, you know, the sin, the broken human condition. There have been two ways, like, you know, you're pathetic. You know, how could you do this? That would be one way. But the other way would be like, oh, don't worry about it. I'm going to forgive you. It's okay. It wasn't either of those. It wasn't either of those. He came with a fiery, redemptive plan that would expose sin in all its wretchedness, but would give grace at such an enormous level that the two would collide and redemption would be the result. Okay? Now, let me just tell you, I don't believe any human being, counselor, teacher, pastor, whatever, any person that's speaking into someone's life in a spiritual authority position has any right to start calling someone out on their character defects, on their sin, on their that you're not receiving, you're not, you know, you have a bitter spirit. You're just bitter. If they don't carry within them the same supply of grace and the same desire for that person's redemption as Jesus carried. Okay? One of the things that I believe, a snapshot of Jesus. Sometimes I live by just snapshots of Jesus. And what do I mean by that? I mean just absolute understanding of his person and his character that I abide with in a given situation. Okay? And one of the most important snapshots I want you to get of him is that Jesus comes down with you in suffering. And he cries with you over the grief, which he doesn't. He doesn't stand up there. Well, darling, it's time for you to learn forgiveness. Did you ever have anyone do that to you? Did you ever have anyone tell you how you needed to be corrected without legitimizing the pain that you're in? Do you want to know? I can honestly say I think I was guilty of that when I first started these workshops. And not that I didn't care. I did care. We used to do that with our family members. I'm just being real. We basically sat them in a room. We loved on them for a minute, and we started to tell them what they were doing wrong. This is your part. This is how you're enabling them. This is how you're participating. We didn't do it mean. We weren't jerks about it. But do you know what the important piece in that is? Validation. And once you're validated, I think that that something that needs to be intermixed in this whole conversation is something I sent out on my email, if anyone read it, and some people are probably like, can't keep up with this girl this year. There's parking issues. There's heart surgeries. This is just too much for me. But so you're the faithful ones that are left over. But one of the things I mentioned to you was grief. There is an important need to be able to grieve the tragedies and the losses and the pain without just saying, it's time to forgive. That's what Jesus would do. Is that what Jesus would do? Would he forgive? Yes, he would. But in healing, we can't start to slam a theological prescription for something until we have actually been able to, and I'm talking about anyone who tries to instill a message. I'll tell you who my Jesus is. When he confronts me with my bitterness, with my anger, anything of that nature, do you want to know the first thing he always does? He loves me, and he validates the pain that's leading to that behavior. Always, like clockwork, always. If you find that as you're moving through this process of forgiveness, one, you haven't received grace, go back and work on that. Two, you're stuck, you're hung up because this angry root still wants to just resurrect. You know what? You might not have spent any time at all validating that injury first before Jesus. Okay? Really, really important. Is he going to call you to cross over and to begin to engage in the process of forgiveness? Well, let's talk about that next, because if we don't forgive, if we cling to our own methods of survival, if we cling to our own self-sufficiency, if we choose to take on a hardened heart as a way of coping with pain, if that's what we choose to engage in whatever challenges we're facing, he will give us that option. Jesus will give you the option to stay that way. And what will happen is you will live your life in a defiled way. The spiritual processes in your heart will be contaminated. And Jesus won't be judging and saying, you're so bad, you're so bad. He'll just wait until you're ready to get to that root, until you're ready to see it, you're ready to feel it, you're ready to talk with him about it, and ultimately you're ready to put a solution on it. One of the great things, too, that we make sure happens in the counseling and the healing process is that you don't not just get an opportunity to validate that and to hate it, but that you get the opportunity to, or I just gave it away, not that you just get the opportunity to validate it, but you get the opportunity to hate it. You know that you get to hate the ways you've been violated. And it just depends on your personality. I mean, men, as I've learned in an even more profound way this past week, process things far differently than women. And so, guys, you're in your own group because you guys, you think a little bit different than we do. We're more emotionally driven, okay? And that's just the way God made us. It's not a bad thing. It's just a difference, okay? And so you have to just be given the right to do what you have to do. And if you're dealing with a relationship and there's a lot of issues there and you know in your heart that you're harboring unforgiveness, stay where you need to stay for a minute. I know I might have told you guys this already. Forgive me if I repeat myself, but I was listening to a guy once in our treatment program that was talking about how he went to a treatment program, and the first thing they did is they set him down and they said, who didn't you forgive? And he said, my mom, my dad, my brother, my sister, forgive him now. You can't move on until you forgive him. Right now, you got to forgive him. And there is a hardness to that, and there is a legalism to that. Then let me tell you what, he could say, okay, I forgive him. And it, you know what? Nothing happened. You can say the words, but nothing happened. Okay? I want us to get into the mindset that we have to validate a heart injury in the very same way we would validate a physical injury. We got a nurse in the room. She can tell you about physical injuries. You don't just leave the dirt on the injury. Put a Band-Aid on it and get on your merry way. You could have a very, very brutal infection that could actually kill you. That infection, if it became systemic, it could actually kill you. So we don't, at any level, we're not talking here in any way about just going, okay, it's time to forgive, now just forgive. You need to go at whatever pace you need to go. That means it's Tuesday morning. We're talking about Chapter 9 in the Christian Codependence Recovery Workshop, January 20th, 2015. And I am suggesting to you that you do not have to deal with every single ounce of resentment and bitterness at this very minute, at this very point. How dare me say that? How could I? You know what's more important than any of that? Is connection and awareness. Be connected, be aware. Oh, Lord, I got this issue, man. I got this issue. I am resentful. And you might be resentful of a few people. You might have a whole bitter mentality where you're resentful of pretty much everyone you see. And we talked about that in the book. So it doesn't matter whatever level it is, and it doesn't matter. Just lift your eyes up to Jesus and say, I got this issue. And let him begin the process of dissecting that. You might need a counselor if it's significant enough. You might. Someone that has an understanding between the difference of trying to sugarcoat it and a forgiveness, you know, oh, I forgive you, but they didn't, versus the heart process, the actual heart surgical process, where you go into the wound itself, you expose the wound, and you deal with the wound, okay? Why is forgiveness so important, though? Let's go into the wound illustration, because I think we use it throughout. And also the blood illustration, when people violate you, it's like they take their blood and they wash it all over you. Either of those is effective, because we don't understand spiritual processes, even though they do work the same as physical. They do have the same features as the physical processes of our body. There's similarities. There's very detailed overlays between the two. But we just, our minds can't get that. We can't really comprehend that. So that's where, if you can go to some example in the physical realm, you know, that's why Jesus taught with trees and stuff. You know, he wasn't like, I am just this super profound guy. He was like teaching seeds and trees. Why? Because seeds and trees represented the spiritual principles, right? He didn't need to go, just he could talk in common language what they understood in the physical realm, because he's the same God that authored both processes, and they do align, okay? And so with that being said, you want to focus on original damage. And you want to understand that exposure is number one. Admitting, seeing it, saying, yes, it's there. And as we talked about, feeling it, hurting it, letting it feel what it's supposed to feel. When we deal with drug addiction, what we're saying is a person that uses a substance to medicate, is they have those original violations or whatever it is, whatever's going on in their life. There is that big gaping wound, and all they've done is pop some pills to make themselves feel better. And that wound is festering, and it's getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And it's not going to go away. Because trying to put a topical solution onto something that's much more deep and much more systemic won't work. Okay? And so then once you get in there, and once he says, I want you to see, I want you to understand what really happened here. Some people need to do this, like I said, with a prayer minister, with a counselor, something of that nature. It just depends on your situation. I didn't have anyone with me when I first went through this. He just systematically was going and exposing these deep wounded issues in my life, okay? And sometimes they won't just be an event. Sometimes they'll be, I know I had some issues in school. So we just spent a season dealing with those school issues, the rejection issues, issues at home, issues during different phases of my life with my parents, just different issues, okay? So we talk about that for a minute, me being me and Jesus, talk about that for a minute. And if you can connect emotionally to that, that is very good. People are more emotionally connected, some than others. And I know men is different. You process differently emotionally, but that you feel something. Okay? Grieve about it if you need to grieve. Scream and yell about it if you need to scream. Just get it out. Just make it what it is. Don't, you know, you jump over to, oh, I forgive them. That's not going to work. You're in the wound right now. Now, as you process through that, as you allow Jesus to access the point of injury, okay, that is where you can begin to go, okay, what am I going to do now? I like to take people into memories. I have some friends that are counselors that do the same. I like to take people into a memory of a traumatic event. And that memory will actually give them scenery of what actually was happening. And it might have been a whole point in their life, and it might have been an event, something traumatic, okay? And they can begin to describe what was going on, and I think I've mentioned this to you before, to describe that memory. What's the purpose of doing that? All it's doing is it's bringing it out, it's surfacing it, and it's allowing them to go into that wound, the very place where they checked out. It's allowing them to go back in there and see that. But you know what? When you stand in the midst of something like that. And one of the things I'm grateful for is that, you know, God keeps enough trials and tribulations in my life where I haven't gotten so far along that I am unsympathetic and uncaring about people's pain. You know, when you're dealing with someone who really doesn't get pain, right? Because they just are like, oh, you'll be fine. Don't worry. Jesus loves you. He uses all things together for good. And you are like dying, heartbroken, wretched on the ground. And someone just is like, it's going to be fine. No, it's not going to be fine. Did you ever feel that way? It's not going to be fine. I don't want to hear that right now. It might be true. You might be like, well, they're speaking the truth. There is such an important component here, you guys, is to stand in that wound for a minute and acknowledge its existence and let that pain be real. And you know who is acknowledging that with you is Jesus. Standing right in there. And you know what? He's not like, you gotta forgive him. You gotta forgive him. He's like, I am hurting here with you. I am here with you. I see it. I understand. I am bearing the weight of this with you. Don't you want that? Goes right through it with you. And then as people are standing there, and I can think of many instances when I went through this with Jesus, you're standing there, and I got re-violated by some people in my life going through this whole thing. And this is fresh to me because it's just brought up this process all over again, okay? When you go through trials and tribulations, there are people that stand up to the plate and you are like, wow, I am so loved. And sometimes the people that were meant to fill that role don't. Do you know what I'm talking about? And you have to go through that again. Okay. But when you're standing there with Jesus, this is the transaction. And I can see this clearly if I'm praying with someone. Call me crazy if I'm telling you I'm seeing things. I don't know. You'll have to assess that yourself. I see it too with me. And a very kind, a very generous, compassionate, loving, gentle, but fierce Jesus will say, this is where he'll confront. Do you want to do something about this? I'm going to give you a choice now. Do you want to release that person from what they just imposed on you? No, I don't. Okay. Shall we leave now? Okay. That doesn't happen very much in the counseling room. Usually people do release it. How do I know if they've released in their heart? You know what? I don't. I'm not the heart surgeon. But a lot of times that will come with a very profound sense of release. Sometimes there'll be something that will indicate. When you're going through your stuff through this process, if that seems overwhelming, if that seems too much, again, that's why we go through it together as a group. But I am definitely for one-on-one processes when necessary. Somebody who understands these processes that's not going to give you a bunch of man's theory to solve your problems, and someone who's not just going to get you a bunch of Bible verses. No disrespect to Bible-based communities. They are doing their job. But you know what? The Word of God says that you shall forgive your brother. I know that's what the Word of God says. But my heart needs to go through a process to get to the point where I can truly, truly embrace the freedom that comes along with that. Okay? And so once you confront you and Jesus in that moment, that's when he says, give it to me. And the release is that you are able to release that to Jesus, and with him in his power, here's the deal, in his power, not in your power, in his power. This is what he'll start to do. I'm not following my notes. If you didn't notice. This is what he'll start to do. Okay? He will say, he will give us a heart that will say, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. He will start to inject compassion in your heart for the violator. I'm not talking about where all of a sudden you're like, oh, they couldn't help it. It wasn't their fault. They're so, you know, where we get overly sympathetic with them. I'm not talking about that. And where you can actually bless your perpetrator, your violator, with your mouth. Bless that person. Then you know something has happened in your heart. You know what? One of the things that I know in my own life and in someone else's life, that there has been a release, that there has been forgiveness, is that when you think on that person, you have love and concern for their well-being. Now, if you're talking about someone who's very just evil, I mean, just let's say it's somebody who's just, you know, there's not a whole lot of redeeming qualities in this person, whether it was past or present. Am I suggesting that you have to be sympathetic towards this evil person? Well, you know what? But for the grace of God, we'd all be evil. What a person does and who a person is are two different things. God doesn't ask that we are in accordance with the person's behaviors. He's asking that we see the human heart and the human condition the same way Jesus sees the human heart and the human condition. The same interaction style that met us at our point of need. He wants us to experience in that such a way where we are going to be able to give that out. Some people fly through this faster than others. Again, I'll say, I don't think most of us can just read a chapter and just forgive this whole list of people in 2 seconds. It doesn't usually work that way. Okay, let's see what I forgot. Well, let's talk for a minute what's going to happen if you don't forgive. What if you don't forgive? Okay. If you don't forgive, if you continue to harbor bitterness and anger and resentment because you feel entitled, you feel like they should pay, you have a spirit of judgment that says judgment should prevail in this situation. Justice should prevail in this situation. Whenever we come hailing justice as our legal right, we put ourselves under that same standard, don't we? So if we want justice to prevail, then God says, do you want justice to prevail for you too? Do you know what the Bible says? This is unbelievable. It says, if you don't forgive your brother, I don't forgive you. Those are some of the hard words of the Bible. That in all our, and some people scorn, in the church scorn what we do, like, I don't mean us personally, but just healing ministries in general, because they think that we sugarcoat everything and turn into this fluffy, just sweet, oh, we just need the love. And it's not quite that way. There comes a point when the confrontational realities of what's said in the Word of God, we have to face it. Now, I believe that as long as we are in process, that grace comes, it just covers us. We're like glued together by grace until God can get through these processes. In other words, we're admitting to him, I got resentment. I'm in process now. That verse doesn't apply to you, because do you understand what I mean? Because it's in the light and you're working on it with him. So it's not like, okay, he's not going to forgive you. Forgive right now, which is what that treatment facility was thinking. Well, you can't even get forgiveness for all the wrong, wretched things you did until you forgive your brother. So come on, let's forgive him right now. And then they're like in a panic, freaked out mode, like, oh, I got to forgive, I got to forgive, I got to forgive. I'm doomed. And then that doesn't work. Okay? You guys understand that? But I just do want you to understand the threat of unforgiveness, what happens. Not only will you be clinging to the residue of someone else's sin, not only will you continue to be messaged by the shame that sin produced in your life, not only will that stay on you, not only will that original injury fester and grow on the inside of your heart. Not only that, but you will not be forgiven. And now you'll be living under your own self-condemnation. What a horrible thing. After that, I know it could make you go, Lord, I need to forgive. I need to forgive. I want to forgive everyone. I just want to take away that. And just help you to understand that's not what we're here to do today, is to freak you out. It's a call to action. It's a call to heart surgery. It's a call to say, yes, Lord, I want you to expose, show me. Do you know that some of your resentment and how it's surfacing here, if you could track its route, you might find it all the way 6 miles down the road, up the hill, through the bridge. It doesn't even have anything to do with the current situation. Sometimes it's rooted in a parent and it's being projected onto a spouse, projected onto a friend, whatever the situation might be. You guys, we are complex creatures. We cannot do it. We cannot do this thing. Close your eyes, bow your head. Those three areas that I keep bringing up are the three areas that I want to continue to focus on, and that is unbelief, fear, and independence, pride. And so, Father, we want to set the atmosphere right now that if any of those areas are harboring, are setting us back from being able to even access you, that we put a wall, a barrier that doesn't even allow you to come in as our surgeon and our healer. God, we just ask you to show that to us right now and to give you permission to just walk through those barriers in Jesus' name. And I just want you guys to just think on, just for a minute, just to think on maybe a deeper injury that you're feeling, or a relationship that's straining you, something that you know is clogging your heart, something that you know is maybe tormenting you, maybe it's just a relationship that has challenges, or maybe it was a relationship in the past. And right now, it's coming into agreement that you are willing to go through process with that. And it's coming into agreement with God that you're willing to do whatever it takes to own responsibility where you have to own responsibility, and to not own it where you don't need to. And let's pray over that particular area right now. Father, we ask that you would search our hearts and know us, that you would find if there be any area in our heart that continues in a broken state because we're harboring resentment and bitterness, that you would free us from that, Lord, not only through a conviction of our unforgiveness and of our bitterness and of our bitter spirit, but by the kindness of your love and your mercy, that you would give us access to the pain and the grief of that original wound. God, I just pray that you would pour out the ability to grieve into each person, that is to unleash those emotional issues, to cry with you, to feel with you, to hate the sin of other people with you. Just pray, God, that you would just give every person here the ability to come into agreement with how you are able to handle that situation. God, we thank you that the blood of Jesus is all powerful and all sufficient, that it can cut through, that it can break down, and that it can remove every single solitary ounce of corruption, of residue, of pain, torment, of hurt. God, we thank you that you are more powerful than what the enemy has brought into our life, and that you are for us, not against us. And we just pray this all in Jesus' name, amen. All right, guys, go ahead and break up into your groups. Webinar, you are going to be meeting with Stacy, and I'm going to break out of here. Okay, so I'll see you guys next week.